Good morning, y'all, and a blessed new member Sunday to all. This morning, as we welcome new friends into the love of Christ and the promises of community, it seems only fitting that our scripture passage deals with the beauty of a friendship built in faith and tells of a covenant between friends, a life of promises lived into. And so this morning, we dive right back into 1 Samuel, which reads, "As soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house." This is, he took David. "Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David, and then his armor, and even his sword and his bow and his belt. And David went out and was successful wherever Saul sent him, so that Saul set him over many of the men of war. And this was good in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. As they were coming home, David returned from striking down the Philistine. The women came out from all the cities of Israel, singing, dancing to meet King Saul, the tambourines with songs of joy and with musical instruments, and the women sang to one another as they celebrated, 'Saul has struck down his thousands, and David his tens of thousands.' And Saul was very angry, and this saying displeased him. He said, 'They have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed thousands, and what more can they have but the kingdom?' And Saul eyed David from that day on. The next day, a harmful spirit from God rushed upon Saul, and he raved within his house while David was playing the lyre, and he did this day by day. Saul had a spear in his hand, and Saul hurled the spear and thought, 'I will pin David to the wall.' But David evaded him twice. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and had departed from Saul. So Saul removed him from his presence and made him a commander of thousands. And when he went out and came in before the people, and David had success in all his undertakings, for the Lord was with him. And when Saul saw that he had great success, he stood in fearful awe of him. But all Israel and all Judah loved David, for he went out and came in before them." Now, this is a long segment, so we're going to speed through a little bit of the next part. But the key thing to understand right now is that Saul really spirals. And he gets to a point where he's attempting to kill David on numerous occasions. And Saul's son, Jonathan, whose soul is knit to David's, as we hear earlier on, saves him on multiple occasions, coming between David and Jonathan's own father, obstructing the will of the king and instead carrying out the will of God in friendship. So we head into the final portion, which reads, "Then Jonathan said to David, 'I swear by the Lord, the God of Israel, that I will surely sound out my father by this time, this day, after tomorrow. If he is favorably disposed to you, will you not send word, and I shall let you know? But if my father intends to harm you, may the Lord deal with Jonathan, but be it ever so severely, if I do not let you know and send you away in peace. May the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. But show me unfailing kindness in the Lord's kindness as long as I live, so that I may not be killed. And do not ever cut off your kindness from my family, not even when the Lord has cut off every one of David's enemies from the face of the earth.'" So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "May the Lord call David's enemies to account." And Jonathan had David reaffirm his oath out of love for him, because he loved him as he loved himself. Then Jonathan said to David, "Tomorrow is the new moon feast. You will be missed because your seat will be empty. The day after tomorrow toward evening, go to a place where you can hide when this trouble begins and wait by the stone Ezel. I will shoot 3 arrows to the side of it, as though I was going to a shooting target. Then I will send a boy and say, go find the arrows. If I say to him, look, the arrows are on the side of you, bring them here, then come, because surely as the Lord lives, you are safe. There is no danger. But if I look at the boy and say, look, the arrows are beyond you, then you must go, because the Lord has sent you away. And about a matter you and I discussed, remember, the Lord is witness between you and me forever. So David hid in the field, and when the new moon feast came, the king sat down to eat. He sat down in his customary place by the wall opposite Jonathan, and Abner sat next to Saul, but David's place was empty. Saul said nothing that day, for he thought, something must have happened to David to make him unceremoniously clean. Surely he would have had time, used that time to become clean. But the next day, the second day of the month, David's place was empty again. Then Saul said to the son of Jonathan, to his son Jonathan, why hasn't the son of Jesse, David, come to the meal either yesterday or today? Jonathan answered, David earnestly asked for permission to go to Bethlehem. He said, let me go, because our family is observing a sacrifice in the town, and my brother has ordered for me to be there. If I have found favor in your eyes, let me get away so that I can see my brothers. That is why he has not come to the king's table. It's kind of a light white lie. David was around. He wasn't over in Bethlehem, but oh well. Saul's anger flared up at Jonathan, and he said to him, you son of a perverse and rebellious woman who has lost many goats, which is just a really great insult. Don't I know that you have sided with the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of the mother who bore you? As long as the son of Jesse lives on this earth, neither you nor your kingdom will be established. Now send someone to bring him to me, for he must die. Why must he be put to death? What has he done? Jonathan asked his father. But Saul hurled his spear at him to kill him now. Then Jonathan knew that his father did indeed intend to kill David. Jonathan got up from the table with fierce anger on that second day of the feast. He did not eat because he was grieved at his father's shameful treatment of David. In the morning, Jonathan went out to the field for his meeting with David. He had a small boy with him, and he said to the boy, run and find the arrows I shoot. As the boy ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. When the boy came to the place where Jonathan's arrow had fallen, Jonathan called out after him, isn't that arrow beyond you? Then he shouted, hurry, go quickly, don't stop. The boy picked up the arrow and returned to his master. The boy knew nothing about this. Only Jonathan and David knew about their prior agreement. Then Jonathan gives his weapons to the boy and says, go, carry them back to town. After the boy had gone, David got up from the south side of the stone and bowed before Jonathan 3 times, his face to the ground. Then they kissed each other and wept together. But David wept the most. Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for we have sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord is witness between you and me, and between your descendants and my descendants forever. Then David left, and Jonathan went back to work in town. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this is a long story, and it's got a lot of detail in it, but I think we've got the gist of it. So our most key plot points in the recounting of the story of Jonathan and David are as such. Saul wants David dead and tries on multiple occasions to make that happen. He's jealous of the popularity David seems to have won, and that God is now with David and not with Saul anymore. And so he tries multiple forms of entrapment, including marriage to his eldest daughter and multiple murders, none of which work out in Saul's favor. Now, throughout this time, we know that Jonathan has sworn friendship to David, that he loves him more than he loves himself, and that God is their tether to each other. And so, as Saul, Jonathan's father, continually tries to take David down, Jonathan continually comes to his aid, angering his father, and yet Jonathan never wavers in his commitment to David, looking instead to the Lord for a blessing of their bond and an assurance that his acts, all done out of love for a friend, are indeed part of a holy covenant of friendship. When we talk about covenants, and we talk about them a lot in church and community settings, right? We're talking about holy promises. And this morning is full of holy promises as we eagerly invite new members to join our community. We have reciprocated promises to each other and hinted at what friendship might look like for us. But here, this morning, we are going to make it abundantly clear that we do friendship the way Jonathan, and more importantly, the way God does it. So, what then do we promise and pledge when we pledge our friendship to someone? What of ourselves do we readily give and put on the line when we take someone into our hearts that way? Do we lose perhaps measures of comfort? It certainly wasn't comfortable for Jonathan to be David's friend, right? But he did it anyway. Jonathan and David give us this epitome of friendship, this friendship based in deep covenant, a promise of loyalty despite real personal trial. This covenant promises a kind of enduring love, the same kind we hear about from both Christ and from St. Paul in his letters. Love that is patient, love that doesn't boast, love that endures all things, even the bad mouthing of others or the attempts by family to dissuade such a friendship. We know that Jonathan gives David the clothes off his back and his sword for protection in his time of need. Jonathan was to David a friend for all seasons of life, one who was willing to see him through his marriage and his love of Saul's daughter, and one who is ready for the darker seasons of life when, as the old Irish prayer says, crosses are to be borne and storms of daily life are to be defied. For Jonathan and David, the presence of God in both of their lives meant the time-tested bonds of friendship arose as not only life-saving acts, but as truly holy promises that would endure. And so when we think about our own lives, as is usually the call with a Sunday morning sermon, I'd like you to take stock of the friendships in your own life. Who shows up for you without questioning the circumstances? Who would house you, feed you, laugh with you, cry with you, perhaps lovingly correct you if needed? Who would go the distance, whether literally or figuratively, to see you safe and to see you happy? And are you this person for someone else? Someone for whom you would lay down your life, as both Jonathan and Christ himself model for us in different ways? I am very, very lucky, very, very blessed, because I know who those people are in my life. I name them in my prayers every morning and evening, and I give thanks 1,000 times over for the many Jonathans of my life, the many Davids of my life as well. They have shown me compassion when it felt like the world was cruel, and they have, with great patience and love, dusted me off and set me back on the right path after I've wandered somewhere off trail. They jump on planes with a moment's notice and listen deeply and without judgment to the goings-on in my heart. They are the people who accept me full stop, and who do not only make space for who I am in the world, but they intentionally celebrate that. They find ways to commune even when we're afar and we pick up as if no time at all has elapsed. They are friends who take the promises of friendship to heart. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I know God through them, because I know love and devotion through them. So not only have they shown up across all seasons of my life, but they have brought me closer through the promises of their friendship to knowing a love that surpasses all knowledge. And that, my friends, is the power of friendship built on faith. And it is precisely what we extend today. To our new members, we pledge a set of promises. We will show up for you across all seasons of life. We will honor who you are. We will serve as a shelter when the storms of life arrive. And we will do our very best to love you as God loves you, infinitely and completely, now and always. And we trust that in return, we can count on your friendship, on your wise counsel, on your talents, on your passions, on your faithfulness to seek love over certainties, and on your desire to choose the holy promises of friendship which endure beyond our own time and which pass into eternity. As I stand here this morning, your new pastor, and now a new member of this community, I count myself truly and deeply blessed by God to be among such friends. Let us all carry that love forward into the world, which so desperately needs it, as we go forth to love and serve the Lord our God. Amen.